No, it's Rock. What? Tim Rock Reigns. Of course you're right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
What'd you think it was? Timmy?
Yeah, Timmy.
I can tell your heart's not in it.
I'm hardly functional.
You
right
are.
Now.
I see you. You're looking at the heart out at the end. All right.
I got the countdown going. I got the ticker on the top of my computer monitor.
Well, we'll win an award for this show. All right, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to episode 262 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, I feel crappy.
What's going on, Adam?
I'm prefacing this show right away. Like, not quite Christmas episode-ish, but I'm prefacing my performance with the fact that I feel awful right now. But I'm still doing this. I'm still doing this for the fans. The fans need us.
But I don't know. What do you mean with the Christmas episode? Are you saying that people don't like it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's not true.
It's canceled next year.
No, we're doing two next year now for that. Next year, I think this is true. I don't even know why I saw this. I think it was... I do know why. I'm pretty sure the first day of Hanukkah falls on Christmas Day next year.
You've already researched this?
No, but you know what? Remember I talked last week about making calendars?
Okay.
Did we talk about making calendars on the show?
Yeah, we did.
We did. And I used your advice and I ordered them from the place you said.
Vistaprint.
I wasn't going to give them a plug. They're not a sponsor.
That's all right. Do we have any sponsors?
I'd like to. And I think if we keep giving the milk away for free, nobody's going to buy the goat.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not cow's milk. We're definitely the lesser goat's milk. Okay. But yeah, so I use that place, but one of the features on there is you can add dates, you can add like little things, like I don't know, tidbits for the kids. I don't know what you
put
on, right?
Like Sam's birthday,
which I did. I basically was making it for my parents, my sister, and I added exactly two dates, and it was my kids' birthdays. So I was like, I'm not adding anybody else's. I don't care. But I happened to notice on Christmas, I think it also said Janica as well.
Wow. Hey, can I ask you just a question? About how much per calendar did it cost?
It was the money I found in between the lint in my pocket.
Yeah, it was really reasonable, right?
Yeah, it was really cheap. It was on sale, apparently. I think it was about $6 or something.
Yeah. Very, something like that.
Six and maybe seven.
And that's shipping included, right? Like once you paid the shipping on top of the per calendar, still worked out to be under $10 a calendar.
Oh, definitely under 10.
Yeah,
it was shipping was more, but I think it was about $2 a calendar or something like that. And I lost track. I think I got three calendars probably, and so the price came down at three. That's like a price point or something. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely worth doing. I think it was about $22 plus like $5 shipping.
Yeah,
something like that.
And that's shipped to Germany or shipped to Canada.
That shipped right to Canada. Yeah, those are okay. I did my German calendars here at a different place, and then the Canadian ones I couldn't do as a German company, so I couldn't do it here. Didn't want to ship them.
Oh, I see. So you're just shipping these out to your family or whatever,
right? So I'm shipped to my sister, and then she can just deal with my folks. When she sees them, she'll hand them off.
Sounds good. I'm curious to see what you think your experience will be. I mean, you might not see them for a year or whenever you're back next.
Yeah.
But absolutely, because we have ours up in the bathroom, and so I have been, you know, super super thrilled with the quality. Just best calendar we've made yet in terms of the print quality. Not even comparable.
Really?
And at half the price of any of the previous calendars we printed. So how does that happen? How do you get double the quality at half the price? Something's wrong. Yeah. Something's wrong.
That's a factor of four. I'm the only issue I took, and maybe this was just me being impatient, is they didn't have a lot of options in terms of sizes and ratios, like aspect ratios.
Okay, yeah.
Because when I chose my photos, these are the 12 photos I put on Facebook like a week ago or something like that. And I, at the time, I wasn't making a calendar. I was just picking, you know, 12 photos.
Right.
So thus, a couple of the photos were actually portrait what do you call it? Aspect ratio?
Yeah, up and down.
Yeah. And so, I mean, obviously, you if you're going to do a calendar, you kind of you want to have them all be the same, whether it's portrait, landscape, whatever it is.
True.
You'd like them to all be the same. And so I had two, and that, my wife loved the two photos, too. And so for the German one, they had an option for square. And all of the images actually worked quite well in the square crop.
Okay.
And so I went that way, but the, with the VistaPrint, they only had the like the landscape version.
Right. And you didn't want to, you wanted to stick with one picture per page.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm a stickler like that, and I'm pretty picky. Not a good reason, just because that's, you know, it's what I do.
Okay.
And so did you do multiple pictures on a page?
I'll have to look back, but I think there's a couple of pages. Like most of them are just landscape pictures. My favorite pictures. It usually kind of alternates Jack Sarah kind of thing through through the months. But then I think because of a few pictures I wanted to use, I did a few kind of split screen where there's one of Jack on one side and one of Sarah on the other side. And and that was just, you know, when it made sense to me to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Like there's specific pictures I really wanted to include that were really kind of marked the month, then I did a split screen.
Right, I probably could have done that, but yeah.
That's it, but that's all I did. I did mostly just the landscape photos, because again, I find that it looks best that way.
So when they do arrive, which should be any day now, maybe I'll get my sister, I'll do a quick interview with her, she can tell me what she thinks about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. I mean, we've talked about this in the past with printing. You can take the exact same digital image and get it printed at three or four different places, and it looks amazingly different at every place you get printed.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, because I had some of the same pictures that are in the calendar, I've had printed at other places. By far, the print, the color, what I had intentioned for the photo looks best on the VistaPrint calendar.
All right.
So, yeah. So I mean, just even the color. I had a picture printed of Jack in his hockey uniform. That's kind of a dark background. I'd put it up on Facebook, and really liked the picture. And I got it printed at Costco, and I've had it printed at London Drugs, and I've had it printed on the VistaPrint. And the VistaPrint one, it just blows the other two out of the water. But again, that's one particular photo, one example. And sometimes I like the Costco versions better than anything else. But this particular image, they didn't darken the background too much. They got the color right, because again, I'm not, most of the time when I'm printing, I'm just letting them calibrate, because I've gotten myself into trouble by saying, you know, no calibrating.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thrilled with how a few of the trickier images that I would have thought could get messed up were bang on in every case. So.
However, with VistaPrint, on your way to the parking lot, can you get a hot dog for 50 cents?
That's true. Again, I'm not going away from Costco. Mm-hmm. I love Costco. Just in that one particular situation, I just was like, yep, they didn't get it the way I wanted it, or the way it looks on my monitor, and it's off by more than I would like.
Well, in this day and age, here's a little tangent to this conversation. In this day and age, though, I've been to the shopping malls. I've seen places where you can buy, and in at Christmas time they pop up these little kiosks in the middle of the mall. And all they sell is calendars.
Okay, yeah.
You've seen these.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That tells me that people today buy calendars.
Correct.
If you would ask me, sight unseen, hey, do you think people buy calendars today? I would say no. There's no way you can sell. You might sell 8 calendars nationwide this year.
Why would you think that?
Well, because everyone's got their phones and then the Google calendars. But because it is so easy to make your own calendars, I would assume that people would just make their own.
Right.
But yet people do go ahead and buy, you know, I don't know, 12 months of horses or whatever we see, you know, in the mall. What do you think that maybe, you know, we should get into the calendar business?
Maybe.
That's pretty lucrative.
Two hosers calendars.
Well, I would do my own. I would do mine. You would do yours. And then we would compete.
Right. Do you think, here's a question for you. Do you think that more than 90% of the population,
okay.
has a calendar?
No.
do you think more than 50%
like of the population? Like a physical, we're talking about now, a physical printed calendar.
Yeah, and it might be anything, but it might just, like I say, have nothing on it other than the days printed of the month. Do you think 50% of the population
has don't do population, do households.
Okay, households. Do you think 50% of households has a calendar?
Yes.
Okay, that's a lot of calendars. Now, how many people do you think go out of their way to make an actual calendar with their own photos and that? Like, do you think it's 10%? Do you think it's 20%?
Of the calendar people or of the households?
Of the households, do you think half of those people?
Okay.
So if we're saying half the households have one, do you think half of those people make their own?
No.
No, exactly. That's why there's kiosks in the mall.
I hadn't thought of it this way.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking a huge number of people that have calendars. I bet you everybody you know has a calendar in their house.
Oh, those people. I don't think we do.
I'm going to ask around. We've always had one. Every house I've ever been into, I usually look. And it's a weird thing. And I think that the reason I look is because I'm curious about, not so much do they have the one with horses on it, but I'm curious as to whether they have the homemade version. Uh-huh. And what I would contend to say is that very few people that I know anyways have made their own calendars. Very few.
Okay.
I know of one family out of at least 20 homes that I've scoped out.
Now, back in the day, I stopped doing this when I moved to Germany, but for a long time, for like 10 years, I used to make calendars for our whole extended group of friends for Christmas. Okay. Now, and by make, I mean actually, I would go and pick out 12 photographs that I had printed, because this started way back before digital. I would go pick 12 photos of me and my, you know, us and I don't know if you probably showed up towards the tail end of the calendars.
No, I remember it because my kids. I think even when my kids might have gotten into it, where their birthdays were on the calendar when they were really young.
That's
my daughter,
right.
Anyways, yeah. And you used to send it out digitally. I never got an actual hard copy.
Okay.
Of it. You used to send out month by month.
That was the digital one. Once I moved away, then I did the digital version because I didn't have time to do it. But I would take these 12 photographs I picked out of us and our friends, go and get them black and white photocopy / enlarged onto thick cardstock.
Right.
And then get, you know, 12 months of that. And I would do like 20 calendars at Kinko's and get it all done. I'd buy the big stack of paper, put it in myself and, you know, make 20 copies of each one. Come home, design the calendar on a piece of software that was so old, like it didn't run on any new computer. It only ran on like an old, I'm going to say like a 386 or something.
Okay.
And it printed on I forget the old, this really, really old printer, but I would dig that printer out just to use that calendar program. And then print on the backsides of all these photos, and I would design it all myself and then go and punch all the holes and put the little things in, and then to put the hole in to hang it on the wall, like I would actually take a drill. I would go and drill through 20 calendars. And that's what I made. And also, in somewhere in between, put everyone's birthday on it and came up with some sort of a funny quote for each picture, some caption. It took less time.
I'm still with you. I'm still with
you. It took less time to make the calendar than it did to tell this story.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
But what I'm saying is that, so those people I know, those 20 people I know had calendars.
Yeah.
So they had a personal one. I don't know any. Like, we don't have one. I went to, when I made these calendars this year for everybody, I asked my wife, hey, do you want one? And she said, nah, we see the kids every day.
Wow.
Okay, she didn't say that. She didn't say no. She's like, no, we have pictures up. We're fine. So I said, oh, okay, there you go. So that's why it made me think, do people buy calendars? And if so, should we put out a calendar and sell between 6 and 8 units next year?
I think... I have multiple calendars. Like we have the one that we printed and made, and that goes in. That one's in the bathroom,
uh-huh.
And then we have one big kind of large fridge calendar, like quite a big paper one that you just tear off that we kind of write all the activities on, like you know Jack's got hockey at 1 o'clock and Sarah's dance is this time and just whatever school things are coming up that you need to remember. So we have kind of the big paper one that you just kind of write. So you know we have more than one calendar. in our house.
Well, la-di-da, Mr. Fancy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is I'm like two hosers calendars. You could have one for each room.
All right, we're doing it this year. Well, think about it. Six pictures from Vancouver, six from Germany, and we'll make it happen.
Okay.
Each photo will be from that month, and we better get going. We're already 8 days in, and I haven't taken a single photo.
Oh, no.
Okay, Amazon. We'll sell it on Amazon.
Yay.
I don't know if we will or not. I don't know how that works.
Probably not.
I had to go in and adjust my settings on the Amazon.
Okay.
Because the checks were coming in, because we get checks from multiple Amazons.
Because there's German and there's UK and right. Canada. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so there's the EU checks.
Coming in, name more countries?
No. You've seen a map. Good for you.
Okay.
Yeah. But I get the multiple ones, and originally I'd set it up, and long story short, you get the check. And so I just take the checks to the bank and put them in there, and you think, okay, that's how it works. The bank, you take a check and you put it in, and the bank, they're going to charge you a service fee. That's what banks do. It's not enough that they take your money and loan it out and give you 0% for it. They have to, everything's service fees, even here in Germany.
Okay.
What do you think? What percentage do you think that service fee is for the check?
Just putting it into the bank.
Just depositing it into the bank. And like knowing full well that you can't cash it because like, well, this one's crazy. You know, it's from Amazon UK. And so we have to ask, you know, it takes, you know, between 40 and 50 months to clear and, you know, all this nonsense, even though they have the internet there, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't cash it. It has to clear, which is fine. I don't care. I just put it in the bank. What percentage do they take for their own, for the bank? What do they take?
Let's say 10.
40!
What?
Yeah.
Holy smoke. That's insane.
I freaked out. I said, that is 40%?
That is
40%.
40. So it's just like a deal between Amazon and the banks.
I don't know what's going on, but like I don't even pay. These are things that I don't pay much attention to. Fortunately, I married a German girl, and she does. She pays attention to this, and she saw the fee and went, what? And so I stopped doing that. So I figured out some way to do direct deposit now. But so no more checks. No more checks coming.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, I was sour. Like, wow, guys, that's not even close. If you 10%, I would be choked. That would be high.
Well, I thought 10% was high. I was going to say 5% at first.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I mean, even the interest on your credit cards, like you know, 18%. That's insane.
Yeah.
And 40%.
Yeah. So, anyways, but keep by. I got it sorted out. So please keep clicking through. We appreciate it.
Because then you can finance the banks.
Yeah, the banks need the money. They BS. Yeah. Yeah. They called me. Hey, are people not buying stuff on Amazon? What's going on? I said, no, they're not happy with you. Yeah, I'm going to start just selling stuff out of the trunk of my car because then I get 100%.
Right.
So there's that. What's going on, Adam, besides calendars?
Nothing.
Okay. I had a guest come.
You did?
Yeah. A friend of mine, a guy named Frederick,
okay.
who right now is listening to this. Probably, he informed me that he listens to the show, but he doesn't put headphones on. So his wife, who came over as well... Frederick's a guy I met through the show. He listened to the show and got in touch a few years ago and asked if I would shoot his wedding.
Okay.
A German guy was living in San Francisco and came back to get married. And
so he got married in Germany.
Got married in Germany. Like he's from here. Him and his wife are both from here. They got married here and then went back to San Francisco. He works for a company there. I don't think I'm supposed to say the name of the company. Sounds like Smoogle, though. Anyways,
okay,
works there. And anyway, so they were back for Christmas, and they said, "Hey, yeah, we can come on down. What do you guys want to meet?" I said, "Yeah, come on over." We had some dinner, and kids played at the playground for a little bit because they had a couple kids. So that was kind of nice for them to come down. But what struck me, and now again, now his wife's listening to this as well, is he puts the show on at home. On a speaker.
Okay.
So he doesn't listen. It doesn't listen through headphones. Is that normal?
I'm not sure. Okay. I guess if you're in the house by yourself, it would be okay.
No. But that's what his wife remarked. Was like, so she's like, it's so weird to see you because I hear your voice every week, and I was like, wow, he makes you listen to me.
Yeah. That's weird.
That's what my wife said. Because my wife, like your wife, who's never heard a single second of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. She even told her, she's like, oh, I can't listen to him. I feel bad for you. Yeah. But anyways, no, it was great. But I thought about it after they left. I thought, wow, I didn't even get a photo with Frederick.
That's a shame.
That was, I don't know why I didn't do that.
I have a buddy who I went over to their place, over the holidays. So I think it was just after New Year's we were there, and we had dinner over there. Friends that I've had pictures of their kids on the show several times, all kinds of pictures. Anyways, he just bought a new camera over the holidays, and so he'd started into the show. He'd listened to the first few episodes, and he was in, like, he was into it, and he'd been, you know, playing with the camera on a daily basis, listening to podcasts, and it was kind of fun because, you know, we had when we went over there, like, a little photography lesson, and just kind of giving them some little pointers, and I brought a flash over and, you know, tinkered around with that a little bit, and just kind of, you know, cementing in his mind, like, you know, when you use the different modes and, you know, what the servo does and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it was really good to see that, you know, there's people just really just starting out who are still going back and starting from the very basics. And so you think about the spectrum of knowledge out there for the podcast listeners, like, that was just out of the box. Like, that's all there from way back at the beginning. And, he was picking it up pretty quickly. So, you know, I was pretty pleased. And the point being, I've been taking pictures of their kids, you know, growing up, and I've been taking hockey pictures of their kids, and now he has his Canon T5i, I believe is what he got. And now he can do much of it the same. I brought a few lenses over and let him see the difference between the kit lens, and the, you know, 50 millimeter prime and what the prime does. And he did have a 50 to 250 zoom that was basically a
throw-in,
like,
yeah,
with his deal. And I said, you know what, like, the ISO that camera does, like, it's very similar to the 6D. And I looked, we took some pictures at, I want to say, 12,800 ISO, and I could not believe how good it looked on this crop sensor camera. Now I'm looking at the LCD, but I'm zooming right in, and I mean, it looked fantastic. It looked as good, if not maybe better, than the 6D does, which does ridiculously good ISO. So I thought, you know what, you should crank it to 12,800, go out and shoot hockey with whatever that 55 to 250 low aperture will do, whatever it is, 4.5, like, it's a variable one, right? So whatever that will do, and I bet you'll get great hockey images at, like, you know, 1/800th of a second or 1/1000th of a second shooting on 12,800 ISO.
Yeah.
So
it's a good time to be a photographer.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, every year, I almost am tempted at some point to buy another crop camera just for shooting hockey because of how good the ISO is and how much closer to the action that gets you with the same lenses.
Sort of.
Well, I just mean in terms of, like, for me, I went out, and this is getting onto something else. I shot two different days of hockey. This is the what's interesting that you shot that I'm getting to now. I shot 85 millimeter one day, some hockey stuff for the team that my kid plays for, and then I shot the 70 to 200. So I did the two different days, and essentially the 85, I'm much further away, full frame camera both days, 6D both days. So I have the ability to shoot at 200 millimeters, and I have the ability to shoot at 85 millimeters. Now, the upside of the 85 is obviously I can shoot at a, you know, F2 or F1.8 if I want to, but I can shoot wide open and get more light and therefore be able to drop the ISO. Then, unfortunately, for what I want, standing right at the bench, close to the action, the 85 millimeters still too far away. So I end up cropping to get the kind of composition that I want in post. So the cropped with the lower ISO versus the uncropped with the higher ISO, virtually no difference.
Correct.
So the point to me was, you know, like, I could not see any less grain, right? On the lower ISO shots, cropping it in. So I figured, well, it's just easier for me to have the range to go in and out and get it right in camera than doing all this post-production cropping, which just takes a lot of time.
Correct.
My images, I think when I compare side to side, very little difference, except for way more time spent in the post doing all the bloody cropping.
Right, but throwing the 85 on the crop sensor,
yeah,
would be the equivalent of you, for the most part, of you shooting on the 6D and cropping it in post. Now, obviously,
I just don't have to do anything.
You don't have to go through it. But what you could do is basically just shoot everything in the middle, do a crop that you copy and paste across and across all your images, or just have that be an import setting. You say, all right, these are the crop setting. So on import, it just automatically adds the exact same crop, and you don't have to go buy a camera.
Except for that crop is never going to be, you know, consistent. Because of where the action goes, right? The moment you catch. Like, there's too many variables.
Well, that's on you. You have to keep the action in the center. Like,
keep it always in the same spot,
So if that's worth, like, I don't know what a T6i goes for now.
I'm not running out to get one. It was just a point of interest to sort of say. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, the ISO, and I'm thinking more not so much for myself, but more for people out there who are interested in getting into this kind of low-light action shooting situation. I think the point was the crop cameras are phenomenal.
Yes.
Like the high ISO is phenomenal. It'll probably save you from needing to get a 70-200 2.8 lens. And the other thing I was thinking is if I do decide to get more seriously into shooting the hockey is maybe I get like 135mm prime, like an F2 135, and then that just becomes the hockey lens.
Yeah, that's something to think about.
Yeah. Anyways, I at the end of the day, I'll be back to the 70-200 f4 for most of the hockey.
Yes.
If you're shooting stuff on the bench and they're still, it's perfect. You can get beautiful. Like those are some of my favorite shots, or where the kids are just kind of peeking over the bench, or you know, they're talking to each other, or sometimes they'll look over and smile. Like it's just it's so great. To get those sort of in-between shots, and because of obviously they're a lot stiller, it's just like shooting any other portrait. Mm-hmm. You don't need to worry about the high ISO or any of that nonsense.
Yeah, the cameras nowadays, if you're looking to go buy one of the new crop sensor cameras, the cameras are better than you are. Like you're not going to catch up to how good those cameras are.
Well, and,
which is
and
a good
even,
thing.
But even just looking at, like, you know, the T2i versus, because I had one of those, versus the T5i, just three generations of change. It's like they're light years ahead. It's all a touchscreen LCD, too, like, mm-hmm. which I don't think I need or want, but for someone who's new and starting out and so used to, like, iPads or iPhones or whatever all the time, it and zooming in and zooming out works exactly like the phone. Like, it's pretty ridiculous, the technology that's in a $500 camera.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I would suggest, before we move on in a second, I would suggest to your friend, check out the Yong Nuo 50mm.
I told him exactly that. I said, this is what I would buy. I think I remember you saying something around, it was around the $60 price point, the 50mm 1.8.
Something like that, yeah. Probably pretty much the cost of two Vistaprint calendars. That's not much money.
Yeah, yeah. No, I said exactly that. I said, when you're ready to upgrade the lens, the Yong Nuo lens, the 50mm, and then I said, and when you're ready for a flash, because he saw instantly just how brilliant the on-camera flash with the little black foamy was for just, we did some simple little portraits just with the on-camera flash and just how great those looked. And I said, and then a Yong Nuo flash, you know, mm-hmm. the there's an equivalent to the 430 or the 580 for a quarter of the price. So
yes, when you go to someone's house or just go out for the day, do you take your flash often?
No, not generally, except for this. I specifically wanted him to, but generally, no, I haven't been taking the flash very many places. And to the rink, I don't use the flash at all, because I feel like, well, that's annoying, except for people with their point and shoots are banging flash off all over the place.
Yeah. They're not getting good photos.
No, but no. I do not. I don't want to use flash in that situation at all.
Absolutely. I really went the other way with it too. I my flash barely makes it out of the bag in that scenario. I mean, if I'm lighting stuff, yes, of course, but on camera, it's really a rarity that I take my flash anywhere. Okay.
I was going to say one more thing. I did also volunteer to, because they had at the tournament, I've talked about this in the past, like, these hockey tournaments, somebody, a photography company comes in and they basically get everybody to do a green screen kind of team shot, and then they sell it for way more than it should be. And I looked at the print and it's way overexposed, like all their faces are practically white. Like, it was a terrible job.
Okay.
And then, you know, I heard some parents, because if you buy X number, let's say more than 10 people on the team buy it, then they give you a reduced price per print, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so one of the parents was like, does anyone else want to get in on this? And then I just couldn't take it, and I said, please don't buy it. I will offer to do this again for our team at the cost of whatever it is to print the photo at Costco. And so please don't buy it. And everyone was like, what, really? Yeah. And so they were thrilled with the fact. Now, I didn't go in anticipating I was going to do this, but I could not stand that it was not done properly. And we were missing, like, the day they did it, we were missing like 3 or 4 kids off our team, and it's only 14 kids on our team. So it's not even the complete team. So I just thought, let's do it when all the kids can be there, and then let's do a nicer version.
Did you go tell the guy that you did that?
Did I go tell the photographer? The person? No.
Yeah.
But
I'm okay if you do.
It was a joke. It was a joke, and
people get into trouble with certain people with, oh, you're taking money out of pros. You're Uber, and that guy's taxi cabs.
Yeah.
Okay, taxi cabs are brutal. They're terrible at their job, and so now we have Uber because it's better. You are better than that guy. And I
doing this for sure, am. But I'll spend more time on it. So part of it is this is a rush job.
Well, then don't charge that. This is the thing is I know you because you'll get in trouble for this. Not trouble, but someone will have a hissy fit. And,
oh sure. Because I'm sure that our association probably gets some small kickback or whatever
possibly
from the company. Well, there's something like that. But too bad. It's a free marketplace, and I'm doing this and not making a profit off of it, so I'll do whatever I want.
Yes.
If I'm making money off the deal, then maybe there's an issue. But
no,
I'm not making
isn't.
Money off the deal.
No.
But I'm just saying, if there was, if I was physically, you know, another business coming in, then maybe they could have a contention. No, I'm just a parent who's saying I can do this better than you for nothing.
Yes. I don't think you're poaching.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you're independently wealthy.
I'm not.
Okay, no, but if you were and you're just kind of doing it just to be a jerk, you're giving the same service as this other guy and doing it for free because, you know, you won the lottery, that would make you kind of a jerk. But if you're coming in saying, like, this guy is terrible, and not subjectively terrible, you tell me the faces are overexposed, this is objectively terrible.
Yes.
And if you can't light kids' faces on a green screen, you're not good at this.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I said, okay, they overexposed the faces. And again, because they shoot them in pairs or in threes or whatever.
What? It's not even a team photo?
No, they do them in sets. So, like, it's green screen. So they'll do, like, loud. 2 or 3 at a time. So then they haven't done it consistently enough that they don't, some, like, most of them in ours were overexposed, but then a few of them weren't. And it's like, it looked terrible. And I said, well, this is correctable if they spent any time in the post-production part, but they didn't. They just pump them out, right?
Which is fine if it's a free product.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, wow. I was not thrilled. But what it comes back to is, I don't think most people pay attention or notice or care, or even they're just like, oh, my kid's in this. If you show the kid, they're like, oh yeah, I want one of those, right?
Yeah.
But then it's very generic. Every one of them has the exact same, you know, standard background. They put this sort of white glow around them to make sure that, you know, they don't have to spend too much time worrying about edges of green showing up. So they put this kind of, you know, the outer glow kind of effect around it. They have this generic kind of background that they use. It's supposed to be some mountains, but it gets all blurred out by all the white haze around it. And then they all have the same font and team name, and I'm like, no, I want something specific. I want the kids came up with their own team name. I want that. I want maybe a logo. I want ours to be kind of unique, and therefore I'm going to do this better. Don't spend money on that one.
I actually disagree with the whole green screen part of it. Anyway, I think in 10 years you'd rather have them at the hockey rink. As kind of ugly as some of the rinks are, I think that lends a certain
What I'm going to do is I agree with you, but just for the sake of ease and getting all these kids to do it, I'm going to shoot the background photo at the rink.
Right.
Like just of the empty rink background. And then I'm going to shoot the kids like in our home rink. Like I'm going to compose the shot I want during a practice. And then two or three at a time, I'll bring them over to do their poses. And then I'll put them on the rink background. But trying to get it in one shot with the 14 kids and half of them don't look in your direction. And it's just, there's no way I'm going to deal with the frustration.
Yes.
So I will do the in two parts. I will do that rink background and then I will do the picture of the kids. But I'm not putting just some random mountain background. I want to shoot their empty rink and then put them on it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I watched, did we talk about this last week? I watched Youngblood a while ago.
No, we didn't talk about it, but I love Youngblood as a cheesy 80s
hockey. Have you seen it recently?
Last time would have been about 5 years ago, I'm going to say.
If you want
it's not good.
If you want an excellent, accurate representation of what junior hockey is like, that is not for you.
No.
I love how bad that movie is.
Yes, but I still like it. I still enjoy it. Now, I watched on the Christmas holidays, just to go along this the same road, as I watched Slapshot, the original Slapshot. Right. That movie is awesome. And while still wildly out of what's typical in junior or pro hockey, it is super awesome.
That is a fun one, though. But they went outlandish. But the idea in Youngblood that the guys are trying out for the team with two games remaining in the Memorial Cup.
Oh yeah,
that's a thing. They've opened tryouts oftentimes, and they get guys who are in their 30s to come and play. That's standard.
And the other part is that Rob Lowe can't skate, so the hockey sequences are just so funny with the little cutting to his upper body and oh, it's just so bad.
Yeah. That's for another time. All right. This week's topic is a photo challenge is, when it comes to shooting anything interesting this week, the answer is no, I did not.
Okay.
I couldn't. Right. I just can't get my camera out of my bag this week. I don't know what it was. But anyways, photo challenge is hockey.
Right.
Perfect tie-in from Slapshot and Youngblood. So with that, let's have a look at your photo.
Okay. I did what you didn't want me to do, which is shoot a picture of my kid playing hockey, but I got sick and I had big plans and it just wasn't going to happen. But I do really like this picture, and so that's why I chose it, because in hockey terms, we call this bulging the twine.
Yes, you do.
And so the fact that I got my kid just on release of the shot and you see the puck literally bulging the twine, to me was like awesome. I don't care about anything else.
You don't care about the fact that the goalie should come out and maybe face him?
Yeah.
Instead of hiding behind the net?
Yeah, I don't care about any of that. I love the moment, and the way I cropped it, like again, I really thought that this photo like needed to be cropped this way, because the upper part in this image is just boring nothing, and same with the bottom part. But when you cut to this kind of panoramic looking view of it, and you see the other kid in behind, and the referee, and the goalie, and their position, and the follow through, and the puck, I'm like, to me, this is like an imperfect photo that is a perfect moment.
I don't like where the referee's positioned, though. He should be in probably half piston. I don't know why he's full piston right there. He should be half piston.
He's a 12-year-old. This is their first chance at really refereeing hockey, so he's fine. There was a other photo that I had with a goal, which is moments later, and Jack's a bit out of focus. Some of the other kids are in focus, where one kid's stick is up, and the goalie's fishing the puck out of the net, and the ref is doing the full point. So the only thing I wish is that this ref had been on the ball and identified that that puck was in and was pointing,
because
that would be the finisher. And if the kid behind him had his stick up, this angle, everything was better than the other photo. But I love these moments. So to me, it's the moment. And I have better photos from hockey. It's just kind of one-on-one going for the puck or something. But just as a whole, sort of, I thought hockey as a whole here, kids hockey especially, these are six-year-olds. There's probably a few five-year-olds sprinkled in. Mm-hmm. This is as good as it gets when it comes to shooting a moment in a 6-year-old hockey game.
Oh, the fact that the puck is off the ice, that's all you need to know.
Well, that right there is good. Yeah, he's raised it up. Like, they don't raise it very often. You cover the bottom of the net as a goalie, and you're making 95% of the saves.
That's right. Now, technically, the puck halfway up the net like that, that's water bottle in grade, in 8-year-olds.
Yeah, we call that top shelf. Yeah.
No, it's a good job. I do like the fact that it is a panorama. Even though I did specifically say don't phone it in, but you'd phone it in. And just because I don't have access. I went ice skating again this week. We've been a couple times this year now. Took the kids out with their new skates and all that, and was approached by a guy at the rink to come and play on a team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just because you knew how to skate.
I guess. But yeah, a guy came over, they run they have 5 different teams or something like that in various leagues. Like, there's like a state league, like a league that plays in Baden-Württemberg and the province state that I live in, and so at that level. I don't know how good all the levels are, or whether I'll go play or not, but I'm going to check it out, and I figured why not be a two-sport German player.
Okay.
The Bo Jackson of Germany is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Der Bo Jackson. That's what they're going to call me.
Der Bo.
So, anyways, yeah. So, no, I do like it. The fact that you chose it, the fact that you didn't zoom in on this and got lucky by shooting it wide, or was this a conscious choice that you're going to include everything?
No, I was trying to include everything in the shot, mm-hmm. because I there's a breakaway. You're not sure which way he's going to cut. I took probably a burst of 2 or 3 photos right when I thought the moment was going to happen. And my specific thought was, I want to get as much in it as possible, like of the scene. And then if I wanted to crop it down later, I would. But mm-hmm. I just crop the top and the bottom off.
No, it actually ends up working. I mean, like, had this been just kind of a close-up shot, I actually would have liked it less. The fact that you show a lot of context.
I agree.
All right, let's have a look at mine that I shot not long before we started recording the show.
Okay.
I waited all week to try to get my kids to cooperate, and we couldn't shoot anything at the rink. It just wasn't going to happen because it's a long story. It's far away. I don't have quite the same advantage as you do in terms of rinks.
Okay.
But so I knew I would light mine. And at first I thought I was going to do a hockey card. And, so I actually scanned a hockey card and cut out the relevant parts and actually sent you the file.
Yeah. I'm going to use it.
Yep. And I almost used
it for the photo challenge. I was just going to plunk down one of my photos.
Yeah. Same here. I almost did the same, but it's actually a 1981 Stan Smeal card. That was the template that I used. And, anyway, so I was going to do that, and then ultimately I had this in mind. I wanted to go shoot in the basement, and my daughter volunteered. It was her idea. She wanted to do this.
Okay.
Until we started doing it, and then she really didn't want to do it anymore. On top of that, in the middle of this, she had done something to my wife 10 minutes earlier to cause my wife to be angry.
Okay.
So my wife stormed into the middle of the photo shoot and started yelling at her and me and basically tried to sabotage the whole thing. For what reason, I don't know. No clue. Right. Okay. So this was, I'm going to go ahead and say, unrealized, but I still don't mind it.
You're close. You're almost there. I think that there's something really good that was about 5 or 6 shots away.
Yeah. No, I shot 5 or 6 shots after this. It got worse. But,
oh, really?
Yeah. This was actually, this was the first shot we shot. And this is not exactly what I had in mind, but it's my daughter also needs to practice wearing the hockey gloves. I think this is probably the first time she's actually put her hockey gloves on. And, okay.
I have a few questions.
Yeah.
Is she holding a stick?
It is a stick. The stick is, okay. Unfortunately, the stick is black and matte black, so it doesn't reflect any light.
Okay. What's on her chin part? Is that just shadow?
It's a shadow.
Okay. Those are only my only two gripes. If I can see some rim or some rim lighting on the stick, so that, I mean, because again, I know there's a stick there, but it's disturbing to me that I can't really see it.
Me too.
And then the bottom of her chin face part, that part too, is off-putting, just that I can't see the bottom of her face. And other than that, I really like the photo. And to me, this would have been one of those photos that would have done fantastic if it had been like a blue light or a blue backlight. Just in a lot of those opening sequences to the hockey games. Like, you know, they do the national anthems, they dim the lights. There's mm-hmm. usually kind of like a bluey light coming in that, you know, really just makes it look like pregame. And so I think it's could be a super good photo if just a couple of tweaks. But
you know what I mean? You know, honestly, what this really, and I'm not going to go and buy one, but I would love to own one. It's a smoke machine.
Oh yeah, that would look cool too. Like the bit of fog coming off the ice.
Yeah, and black back like that. Like that. Say what you will about Youngblood, the opening scene where he's skating around with that sort of mist coming off, and the whole rink only lit by his tractor headlights. It does look cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wildly inaccurate, but looks cool. And now that's kind of what I was going to go for here was the fact that like I don't have a rink, and so for me. To try to replicate that, not going to happen in my basement. Like I got red walls and this and that. So I hung the black cotton, the muslin background, and shot with two hard lights on a both snooted, mm-hmm. and sort of cross litter from the front and the back, and had her face, you know, camera right. And that's where we got. Had I had a more cooperative subject, I would have positioned the light to not cast the shadow from her, like the glove shadow on her face.
Right. And I mean, to me, it looks like, you know, the pose, the fact that you're getting it as a side shot looks like, you know, how they would be lined up for the national anthem. Like,
right.
It's still, it's posed. That's definitely how some of the players would be standing. And so, like you say, that's as in the darkness, because again, they turn the lights down for the national anthem. This looks like an national anthem shot.
Except she wouldn't be wearing her helmet.
Depending on what country she's from.
Well, okay, fine. But I know in Canada, you don't wear your helmet for the national anthem. And you
generally, you would, but kids would.
No, no. But you rock back and forth and spit.
Yeah,
and her hair would be wet. Because, and this is a true story you may not know, when your brother-in-law played junior hockey, he had long hair, shoulder-length hair.
Yeah.
That you knew. Did you know... Mullet. Yeah. Did you know that after the 15-minute warm-up, and when the Zamboni was out cleaning the ice for the first period, and then the national anthem would happen, he would go and take a shower so that his hair looked wet and cool for the national anthem?
Oh, my God. He couldn't just wet his hair? He had to go take a shower?
I don't know. I wasn't
in
there.
No way he took a shower.
He says shower.
He's not getting his gear off and then putting it back on.
He says shower. But regardless... He would make sure he soaked his hair down and combed it back so that it looked cool while he could rock back and forth and spit.
I'm sure. And I'm sure he wasn't the only one.
Well, regardless, next Christmas, bring it up. Okay. That's all I'm telling you. All right. Okay. This week's topic, if we still have time.
I thought we were done.
No, I this one shouldn't take too long, really.
By too long, do you mean more than 3 minutes?
Yeah, we wasted a lot of time on the calendars. That's true.
This week's topic was calendars.
This week's topic, yeah, that should be. No, what it is actually, ironically, it is what you leave out.
Let's leave out this part of the show.
I'm not going to. I'm going to talk about it. Because, and this is what inspired this. You have the Netflix.
Yes.
Have you watched The Making a Murderer like everybody else?
I'm 3/4 of the way through.
Is that true?
So don't... Yeah, don't say anything. I started watching this like, I don't know, a little over a week ago, and then yes. I saw your email, and I was like, oh yeah, but everyone else in the world's watching it too.
Yes,
but I based on the fact that, you know, my work schedule during the week, I basically been trying to get one in a night. I intend on finishing it by the end of the weekend.
I do recommend this. Now this is a thing that I didn't think my wife would like this just by the title. And so I watched the half of the first episode, and then I thought, oh no, she's going to love this, you know, and that's what it was. And I watched the first episode. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm not going to spoil anything. I would never do that. I didn't want anybody to do that for us. But if you watch the first episode, but when you get to the end, you're going to be hooked. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you that in my humble opinion, the first episode is the worst one.
Yeah, it gets better and better.
It gets much better. But now, what now, and I think you know this. I think you do understand the concept here. Some people evidently don't. But this is masterful storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
It is amazing storytelling. Perhaps irresponsible. I don't know. But I guarantee you, I don't know the whole story, but I guarantee you, just by having worked on documentaries myself, the story is shaped by what is left out.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. That is a very, very, very important aspect of storytelling. I mean, I think at any level, right?
Yeah.
So how that relates to photography is that photography is storytelling. No matter what you do, if you're taking a portrait, if you're shooting hockey, or if it's just snapshots at a party, or even if you're shooting your food, unfortunately, you're telling a story here. That's the point. That's why you do it.
Okay.
Okay? Do you disagree?
No.
Okay. Whew. Wasn't sure. Now, we kind of sort of, if I asked you about storytelling, you sort of, most people, and myself included, you know, for a while, would think that storytelling is what happens. Somebody tells you what is happening.
Gotcha.
However, most of the stories that we hear or see or read or whatever are shaped by what is left out. It reflects a bias, our own bias as storytellers, either intentionally or unintentionally.
I agree.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
No. It's like social media or anything else. Like, it's mostly sunshine and lollipops. Like, everybody lives the ideal life and has nothing but happy kids that, you know, do fun things all the time. You know, not a lot of... There's a lot more of that on social media than there is of all of the crappy things. I'm talking about families. Like, I think everybody likes to paint their life in an ideal light, or you get the other side of the coin. But I think there's a lot less of that on social media of like how my life is the worst in the world.
But that's also shaping by omitting,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting you say that, because when I started thinking about this whole idea, I didn't have Facebook in mind. I once I started working through the show idea, then yes, obviously Facebook became, you know, like sort of the catch all for social media, but the idea of Facebook was the perfect example, because if you only know me by Facebook, you'd think my kids are super cute and smiley and cooperative, and that is not the case at all. Really, it really isn't. I mean, I omit so much that, you know, like everybody, and not because I want everybody to see that the oh yeah, Alan lives the greatest life. He's a Facebook superstar, man. But I just kind of figured my opinion is, there's enough negative stuff. People don't really need to see my kids crying.
Right.
So I don't think that people want to see that. On the other hand,
I didn't show Jack missing the net 3 times before he put that one in.
Well, that's the thing. Is we do. I mean, that is one way that we do omit is the sheer volume of photos that we take now allow us, some of us, to edit. We all have that one, well, had that one friend who would just Facebook everything. If I shot it, it's Facebooked.
Right.
Right now, and the zero editing, but you sort of edit yourself when you click on, you don't click on that person anymore. You edit them right out. But
right,
if anybody is somewhat responsible at it, yeah, you're picking either the best moments or all the worst moments because you're a real sad sack and I don't know what your problem is, or every once in a while an ironically funny bad moment, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, that is one way that we omit things. Is in the old days when you were a kid, your parents bought a 24 roll of film. They printed all 24 and put all 24 in the album because they're very careful about what they shot. And even if it wasn't the best, well, I'm not shooting another one.
Yeah.
So that's, there you go. That's more accurate storytelling. They didn't go through and edit them all down. Nowadays, we don't do that. I mean, people who take selfies sit there, you know, I see these people snap 10, 12 shots and then pick the best one.
Right.
That's a form of omitting. Now, that, keep in mind, I do recommend seeing The Making of Murder. Definitely watch it. Definitely understand that there are omissions on either side. That's just how it has to go that way. That's exactly, otherwise it doesn't work as a narrative.
Right.
So, what about intentionally misleading? Like Photoshop. Like I'm talking about later on. Do you ever Photoshop stuff and really intentionally mislead?
Sometimes.
For example? I thought of one of my own.
Sometimes like there's a picture we have up on the wall from us at the beach where there's, you know, people in the background that are just distracting that I basically wiped right out because I wanted the focus to be on our family and then the rest of the pretty background. But going to the beach, there's going to be people there. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like where they were positioned. So I created a new reality of us in the most beautiful beach in the world with nobody there.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm fully on board with that. I'm fully on board with most stuff. Depends why you're misleading people. You know, like a photo at your house, completely innocuous, not a problem.
Right.
You know, I've heard that the Associated Press will only accept out of camera JPEGs now for news stories because they don't want anything that's been manipulated.
Right.
Because of the, you know, like the, well, this wasn't really so much omission, but like when OJ was arrested, they put his mugshot on Time. I think it was Time Magazine, and they intentionally darkened it to make him look sinister, and like all those sorts of things do happen. But yeah, you can omit things from a photograph and completely change the narrative. Now, I've done that. I've done it myself for fun. Again, for fun. There was a photo like a few years ago that I took when my daughter was a few months old. We sat her next to a pumpkin, took a Halloween photo. Well, she couldn't sit up on her own yet. I mean, she could, but not for more than 2 seconds, and not on cement stairs where I was shooting. So I shot the photo twice, once as an empty plate and once with my wife holding my kid, and then just removed my wife.
Right.
Now, I didn't tell everybody, oh, by the way, this is ha-ha-ha. It was more so just a cute photo, and people asked after. And I said, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I definitely omitted my wife. You know, I didn't say omitted, but photoshopped her out.
I think that's reasonable too. The other place that I often find if I do Photoshop something, if I do something as a paid work for somebody who wants a headshot or maybe a family portrait, is if, you know, someone's got, you know, an acne or a blemish or something, then I might wipe that out as well.
Yes. Now, again, that's fine. I mean, that does shape the narrative. You know,
you did perfect skin.
Yeah. You didn't have that day. I mean, you know, and so, I mean, I understand that, you know, some people ask that too. And I do it. It's rare that I Photoshop, you know, imperfections in my kids. Like maybe my kid, you know, scraped his face or something like that. I usually leave that in.
I also.
With me, I definitely darken the hair, get rid of all the facial, you know, imperfections. Chisels, I paint some abs on, you know, crudely. Even if I'm wearing a shirt, I'll still paint some abs on over top.
Yeah.
Just because it looks good. but generally, most of the stuff now, my Photoshopping is down to a very, very, very minimum. Most of what I do omit is in camera.
Right.
And in terms of that, that might just be changing your angle so a car is not in the background.
Right.
Or more often, and I think you do this a lot as well, is to sort of angle your photo so that other kids aren't in the background of your kids at the playground.
Right.
Again, that shapes the narrative of, playground all to ourselves, you know, but
doesn't really
ruin it.
I agree.
Or
cropping, I'll do that sometimes because, you know, I don't want the person or the car or whatever in the background of the photo, and it's just in there a little bit, so I could just kind of, you know, crop it slightly. It doesn't really affect the photo in any way, but it again brings the focus onto what you think the subject should be.
Yes. By now, I do notice. Now, here's the thing, is that there was a certain time when I would sort of, early on, where I had to sort of think about that while I was composing a shot. Like, how do I best frame this to basically tell the best story I can and eliminate distraction? Now, how can I do that in camera? At this point, I don't think about it. It just happens now. There's been enough reps done that it's just like breathing at this point.
Okay.
Are you at that point yet?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yes.
Sometimes it's unavoidable, right? But for the most part, I definitely tend to think that way as well.
Yeah, obviously you can't control every situation. But, I mean, in your challenge photo, for example, you were very aware of the surroundings.
Yeah.
Like, you were very aware of, okay, you know, here's what I'm going to include and here's what I'm going to omit. Now, some of it you had to do just by the nature of your camera. You didn't have a, you know, a super wide 70 millimeter film camera.
Right.
Or one of those, what do you call it? I forget those ones that Jeff Bridges shoots with. Really cool looking camera. But you don't have that. So, yeah, you're forced to do that later. But you were very aware that, hey, I'm going to shoot this wide and I'm going to crop out the top and the bottom because I don't need it.
Right.
That part I'm just going to completely omit. But yet it exists. It was there.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. My photo challenge is a fantastic example of omission by editing. I bet you I shot 25 pictures, picked two different ones that I was going to use, and ultimately chose one over the other. But there were so many I could have showed you that you said, oh yeah, these are terrible. These are, you do not know what you're doing, and your kid is, kind of a problem. That's the real narrative. That's what happened today in the basement. But you look at that one photo, that's not what you see. You see a pretty halfway decent photo of my kid.
Right.
So we're okay with that. There you go. The end.
Is that the end?
That's the end. Did we do it in 3 minutes? No.
No,
it was no longer. No, last time, definitely, if you haven't checked it out, I know it's very, very popular to check out, and I don't know these filmmakers. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing story, like the story of the filmmakers themselves.
Well, my first thought was, I want to go find anything else that they've done.
Nothing. This is it.
Really? That's it?
Yeah, pretty much. But now, once I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about this case. I thought maybe it was, okay, I got some bad jokes, but I'm not going to bother. I did not know. I had no idea about what this movie was. I didn't even know if it was a documentary, because I didn't hear about it on the news. I caught it probably a few seconds before it blew up on social media. I was probably halfway through the first episode when people started talking about it. So just by fluke, more than anything.
Well, it came up on Netflix, at least 3 weeks ago, as in the new releases, and so it showed up right at the front of the list. And I looked at it a few times, just didn't bother to mm-hmm. watch it, because again, didn't investigate, didn't know what it was about. So early on in the Christmas holidays, I noticed it, and then within a week of noticing it, I just heard one person after another person talking about it, and then
yes.
And then my wife brought it up from looking Twitter and blah blah blah, and then I'm like, all right, I guess I got to start watching this.
Yes.
I was hooked by episode one.
For me, finding out about it, again, because I have Netflix, but I have, because I'm in Germany, I have the German Netflix, which has a very, very different selection than the Canadian or the American one. And thus, in terms of, really quality programming that I want to watch, it's not as deep as your selection. And thus, a show like this, which is it's a Netflix original, so it's in every country. It's really easy. It shows up right away, and it's like, hey, great, I'll check this out. It's easy to find and easy to be, to get into.
Yeah.
But I had no clue. I had no idea if it was a fiction or if it was based on a true story. It was a 10-part miniseries. I didn't know it was a documentary until, obviously, 5 minutes in, it became very, very clear that what it was. I wanted to know more. I mean, because of my, because of what I do for a living, all of a sudden I wanted to know who's telling the story, how are they getting involved, what cameras are they using, because you see some of the footage improve over the years, because it takes place, over 10 years essentially.
Yeah, it's 10 years.
They and so I think I can tell you that without spoiling the actual story, because I didn't Google anything. I didn't want to go Google and check it out, and then
neither. I've avoided it too.
Right, because I didn't want to stumble across any spoiler at all. And so, but I knew that the story of the filmmakers wouldn't spoil the story. Still didn't want to look. So I looked afterwards. Essentially, these women, probably a better way to say it, had just finished, I guess, film school 10 years ago, and heard about this story. They're from New York, heard about this story in Wisconsin, and went out there and just sort of dove in and just started filming and ingratiated themselves with the townspeople and the family, and just started filming. not really knowing what the outcome would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's kind of two ways of making it, two different sort of styles of documentary. One is one that you document a process as it's happening. These are amazing. These are my favorite ones because you're there the whole time and it's part of the process. The other one is where you go back and interview people about something that happened 50 years ago.
Right.
And then you piece together archival footage. And these are good movies as well. They're not documentaries. We don't have a better name for them, so they're called documentaries. They should have their own title, but they don't.
Archival documentaries.
Yeah, something like that, like educational, whatever it is. Without sounding negative, because they are very important, and I very much like those movies as well. It's just a different style. So these people, these women got involved from the get-go and were there every step of the way and shot for 10 years.
Yeah.
And this is the outcome of that. And that part of it to me was just amazing. Like everything involved in that, like being able to stick with it for that long, not knowing if, when, how it will end.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, you know, not getting paid along the way.
Well, I know they were raising money, but I know for these sorts of things, it wasn't keeping the lights on. Like they must have had to do other commercial work in the middle of this just to stay afloat. Because even if you're shooting on a budget of nothing, you still have to pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to do this, like this is a wildly, wildly impressive venture that they've done. And that's what I said, like, in the middle of the second episode, I said to my wife, like, wow, like these, good for these ladies. I knew it was, I think it was then, and I realized it was two ladies I saw in the opening credits. And I said, good for them. Like the fact that they're getting this much publicity and hopefully a payoff or maybe a future payoff, likely from this.
Yeah, likely on the next one. I'm sure they probably sold it to Netflix for peanuts.
Possibly.
I don't want to look at that either, but I'll look after I finish watching.
I don't know. I don't know if they published that, the Netflix. I'm loving what Netflix is doing. We got sort of Netflix from the beginning sort of out of necessity, living in Germany and all that, but it was fine. Great, you can watch movies. The fact that they're doing what they're doing in original content and how they're delivering it to your house and how it really is a meritocracy. If it's bad, no one watches, it's gone. Mm-hmm. There's no nonsense. There's no fat around anymore. So I have had, my experience with Netflix original programming is it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm loving it. So there you go. Making a murderer. Check it
great.
Out.
Great.
We get no kickback from that at all. Zero. None. Yeah. I don't think they care what I think.
Netflix is not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Next week's challenge.
Netflix.
yeah. And chill. Too soon? Okay. Next week's challenge is omission.
Omission.
So
like I'm going to omit to submitting a photograph.
Pretty much. No, we're going to shoot something that we leave it out that shapes the narrative, but we're also going to go and shoot a wide shot to show how we did it.
Oh, okay. So you show two photos.
Yes.
Mm.
About hockey. No.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll be at the rink, so.
It can be about whatever you want, as long as there's some omission, and you show the wide shot and show how it changed the narrative. Okay. Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And on the Facebook of the Hosers, which you posted a couple of things. We loved seeing them. We talked about them last week. My stuff at AlanNatridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find everything we just talked about. That's it, Adam.
Great.
Till next week, get out there and make better photos. Mm-hmm.